ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 22 entitled Bali Maharaj surrenders his life, text 12 to 16. So we will recite text 12 and then we'll read the translations of the other texts. Shri Shuka Uvacha तस्येत्थं भासमानस्य प्रहरादो भगवत्प्रिया आजगाम कुरुश्रेष्ठा राकापतिर इवोत्थिता। Translation: Shukadev Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, while Bali Maharaj was describing the fortunate position in this way, the most dear devotee of the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, appeared there, like the moon rising in the night time. So there is no purport, so we will read text 13, 14, 15 and 16. Text 13. Then Bali Maharaj saw his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, the most fortunate personality, whose dark body resembled black ointment for the eyes. His tall, elegant figure was dressed in yellow garments. He had long arms and his beautiful eyes were like the petals of a lotus. He was very dear and pleasing to everyone. Text 14. Being bound by the ropes of Varun, Bali Maharaj could not offer befitting respect to Prahlad Maharaj as he had before. Rather, he simply offered respectful obeisances with his head, his eyes being inundated with tears and his face lowered in shame. There is a small purport to this purport. Since Bali Maharaj had been arrested by Lord Vaman Dev, he was certainly considered to be an offender. Bali Maharaj seriously felt that he was an offender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, Prahlad Maharaj would not like this. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was ashamed and hung his head. Text 15. Sorry. When the great personality Prahlad Maharaj saw that the Supreme Lord was sitting there, surrounded and worshipped by his intimate associates like Sunanda, he was overwhelmed with tears of jubilation. Approaching the Lord and falling to the ground, he offered obeisances to the Lord with his head. Text 16. Shri Prahlad Uvacha. That is, Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear Lord, it is your Lordship who gave this Bali the very great opulence of the post of heavenly king, and now today, it is you who have taken it all away. I think you acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as King of Heaven was putting him in the darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all the opulence. Purport. As it is said, Yasyaham Anugranami Harishye Tad Dhanam Shanahe. It is by the mercy of the Lord that one gets all material opulence. But if such material opulence cause one to become puffed up and forget the process of self-realization, the Lord certainly takes all the opulence away. The Lord bestows mercy upon his devotees by helping him find out his constitutional position. For that purpose, the Lord is always ready to help the devotee in every way. But material opulence is sometimes dangerous because it diverts one's attention to false prestige by giving one the impression that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys. Although actually this is not the fact. To protect the devotee from such a misunderstanding, the Lord, showing special mercy, sometimes take away his material possessions. Yasyaham anugranami harishye tad dhanam shane. Prabhupada quotes this in the beginning of the purport and the end of the purport. Yasyaham anugranami harishye tad dhanam shane. So that I can speak something on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very beautiful purport Srila Prabhupada has given, power packed purport in few lines, giving the essence of the life of a devotee. So we are reading this most beautiful section of Bali Maharaj surrendering his life, where Sri Vamandev has arrested Bali Maharaj, and now on the scene Prahlad Maharaj, another pure devotee in the family, appears and is glorifying the Supreme Lord. That you have thanking the Lord for what the Lord has done to his grandson Sri Bali Maharaj. Then this beautiful verse, and Prabhupada, and this verse brings about three very wonderful points which we will try to discuss in the class. The first thing which we see here in this particular verse is the vision of a devotee. Prahlad Maharaj's vision, how he sees every situation, is being like portrayed by Shukadeva Goswami. And second thing, as we see here, is Krishna's mercy can come in any form, as Prabhupada is quoting, Yasyaham anugranami. And then third thing which Srila Prabhupada in the purport is pointing out is that when the opulence or wealth come in one's life, it is very, very dangerous, and how it can lead one to think that he is the owner and master of everything he surveys. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning. So we'll see these three wonderful points which Srila Prabhupada is explaining in the purport. Of course, it's a very, very exalted subject matter. So I will try to speak whatever little understanding and whatever I have heard from devotees. So firstly, seeing the vision of Prahlad Maharaj as it is being explained in this verse. I think you have acted with equal beauty in both ways. Because his exalted position as the king was putting him in darkness of ignorance, you have done him a very merciful favor by taking away all the opulence. So Prahlad Maharaj is recognizing that it is your lordships, you only, who have given him the kingdom of Indra Raj. You were the only who gave him that kingdom, and now you thought that this is best for him, so you took that away. So that is the nature of the devotee. He sees Krishna's hand in every situation, whether apparently something good happen in our life or something bad. It may appear sometimes when some difficulties come that why is Krishna acting this way in my life, or why Krishna took away all my wealth, or why Krishna is putting me into difficulties or making me sick. But Krishna knows, as Prahlad Maharaj is saying, that both situations you acted very beautifully. That is the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Every act which Krishna does is for our eternal benefit. We see in the examples of so many devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, this constant theme is being portrayed, how these all exalted Vaishnavas, we see the first canto, Narad Muni, different cantos, if we look through the same theme, how devotees, Chitraketu Maharaj, all the different Vaishnavas, how they see in every situation the hand of the Supreme Lord, and how Krishna is trying to bring them back to their own self. So that is the theme. Basically, we have to understand this in our lives, and by gradually developing faith, by hearing about Krishna, his glories, his pastimes, when we read these wonderful leelas and pastimes, how different devotees acted, and through these pastimes, when we understand the merciful nature of the Supreme Lord, the compassion of the Supreme Lord, Krishna has unlimited qualities, but the underlying thread or the underlying theme of all the qualities is compassion, or the the merciful nature of the Supreme Lord is the bottom line of all the qualities. So when by hearing these wonderful leelas and pastimes, we understand that Krishna is the most merciful Supreme Lord, then by the mercy of the Supreme Lord Himself, we can understand that actually what is happening in my life is Krishna's mercy and Krishna's plan to bring me closer to Him. So that is a beautiful vision of the pure devotees. As we see in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Shripad Narad Muni's example. Narad Muni in his previous life was there. He was, as he himself explains to Shripad Vyasadeva, that he was there as a small child serving the Bhakti Vedantists. And then, after the meet, he was hearing from Bhakti Vedantists and serving them with love and devotion. And then, when these things, when the Bhakti Vedantists leave, they bestow his mercy upon him. And then after the Chaturmas period over, the Bhakti Vedantists move forward for their further destination. And then Narad Muni was there with his mother. He was Narad Muni, just 5-year-old child, completely dependent on her mother. That's what he described, Narad Muni, that I was completely dependent on my mother. She was my only shelter. And she was taking care of me properly, and there was no other thought other than the shelter of my mother. And such a situation, when Krishna wanted to bestow his mercy, Shukadeva Goswami describes, Narad Muni describes that once upon a time, my mother, when she had gone to milk the cows in the evening, she was bitten up on the leg by a serpent in the form of time, and she left her body. And Prabhupada beautifully in the purport writes, that is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother. And yet mother was taken from the world by the supreme will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So that was, the Prabhupada is saying that is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. And how Narad Muni took this event in his life is most wonderful, as he himself describes. I took this as special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotees. And so thinking, I started for the north. And Prabhupada comments that confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada explains, mundane prosperity is kind of a fever, material fever, and by the grace of Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it. Only by Lord's mercy we can see, as Prabhupada in the further purports in this section explains this whole pastime, conclude, Prabhupada summarizes that by serving the Bhakti Vedantis, the great souls, and by hearing from him about the Supreme Lord's pastimes and compassionate nature, then we can see in our lives the supreme benedictory hand of Krishna in our lives. So that is what Prabhupada concludes with this beautiful episode. So we see how the devotees see Krishna's hand or Krishna's benediction acting in any situation of one's life. And then how seeing this next thing, that's how Krishna's mercy can come in any form. Like in this example of Shripad Narad Muni also, it is very, very, from a mundane point of view, very difficult to understand how that the taking away of the mother can be a benediction. Of a 5-year-old child completely dependent on the mother, and mother leaves the body. But that's what Krishna's mercy is. Krishna's mercy is in his own terms. We cannot say that, oh Krishna, please bestow me mercy by giving me good health, or give me mercy by allowing me to purify me of my anarthas. If Krishna wants us to purify of an anartha now, if he feels that is appropriate at this time, he will do that. So that is how a devotee sees, or That the point is that Krishna's mercy comes in his own terms. We cannot dictate that Krishna give me mercy in this form. He, Krishna, is the supreme father, supreme loving mother. He knows what is best for us. He is more eager to have us back. So he knows better than us what will help us to surrender. So Krishna will put us in a situation where we can take shelter of him. As recently in Bhagavatam classes, we were discussing this point that Krishna, it's not that Krishna takes pride in putting tests and seeing his devotee defeated. Like many times you go in the schools and teachers, the professors, they take pleasure in putting such a difficult tests that nobody can pass. But Krishna is not that kind of God. He put the tests and gives the strength to pass those tests. That is the merciful nature of the Supreme Lord. We see in the life of Maharaj Parikshit also how he was put into great difficulty. Apparently, initially he was the ruler of the entire kingdom. But finally that incident of happening, how he disrespects apparently Shamik Rishi and Sringi, who had the power, but unfortunately misuses that power and curses Maharaj Parikshit. But how Parikshit Maharaj takes this event in his life is also very beautifully explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that Parikshit Maharaj said that let this curse or let the takshak or anything else, that magical thing that Sringi has created, come right now and kill me. Let me hear this glories of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord constantly going on. So that is also important, how we see how he took that in his life as Krishna's mercy. We see in the life of so many devotees, actually, the Pandavas, Chitraketu Maharaj, different Bhagavatam cantos describe this wonderful thing, that how we take everything as an opportunity to advance in Krishna consciousness or see the benedictory hand of the Lord. Of course, at times it's easy to say but difficult to see that hand. But by associating with devotees with faith, we can develop that faith that actually this is Krishna's benedictory hand. And we have all have experience in our lives that after some time, when the Krishna unfolds the plan, then we can see, oh yes, that was great mercy of the Supreme Lord. That we all have that experience in our lives that we realize, oh no, yes, that was Krishna's plan. He wanted to do this. Then we realize. So best is to see Krishna's hand in every situation and try to surrender and advance. And also the third point which Srila Prabhupada is making is that with power comes pride. That is what Srila Prabhupada is mentioning. That when one gets the power, then one starts to think that I am the enjoyer or I am the controller of what all I survey. And the powers, as we know, are all given by the Supreme Lord. Krishna, he gives the powers. So if we do not use the powers which are given by Krishna in his service, which are given by him, then Krishna can take them away at any moment. Krishna will, if Krishna wishes. But if Krishna is sometimes not merciful, he may allow us to continue with exhibit those powers and then become pride and fall down. So as Anantanithayapur was explaining yesterday, that story, that Krishna allowed that, what was that, Brahmana to become proud and continue like that. So it's Krishna's mercy that he takes away all the opulences and helps the devotee to surrender. So in that Sringi episode also, Prabhupada explains in the purport that a powerful devotee never misuses the power for personal benefit, whatever Krishna has given. He understands that these powers are given by Krishna to me and they have to be used in his service. And when Krishna sees that a devotee is surrendered, he will use everything in my service. Krishna will be like happy to give. If he sees that we are using everything in his service, Krishna will give more. As I think one time Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning, that devotees were saying that the temple hall is small, we need more space. So Maharaj said that if Krishna sees that we are using every inch of the temple properly, and then Krishna will give the next inch, the next land. So similarly, as Prabhupada also said that Krishna can give you the whole world to rule, but are you ready? So Krishna will give the power if he sees the devotee is surrendered, and he will use it for his service. But when he sees the element of pride coming in, then Krishna can take away those powers at any moment. That is the point, that the powers which are bestowed actually by Krishna should be used in his service and in his glorification. In the episode of the killing of Aghasura also, when all the demigods, when Aghasura is killed, all the demigods come from the heavenly planets, they shower flowers, the Gandharvas are singing, the Apsaras are dancing. So they are all very, very happy. So in that beautiful purport also, Prabhupada describes that one should be trained to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's respective qualities, education, austerity, or penance. And Prabhupada explains, in the modern context, business, industry, and education should all be engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord. Then everyone in the world will be happy. When we use the powers given by Krishna for his service, then we can be happy and satisfied. That is the perfection of having those abilities or powers. And Prabhupada explains, to understand how to glorify the Lord is actual research work. So if somebody is interested in doing research work, this is the subject matter for the real research. If somebody wants to do that, how to glorify the Lord through every field of activity. How, if somebody is a scientist, how to use that brain or intelligence to glorify the Supreme Lord. If somebody is an industrialist, how to use that in Krishna's service. If somebody is a renunciate, how to glorify the Supreme Lord. Basically, in all fields, that is Prabhupada is saying, that is the real research work to be done, is how to glorify the Supreme Lord. And then Prabhupada said that, it is not that everything should be understood without God. That is condemned. So important thing is to see everything in relationship, understand these abilities which I have are given by Krishna to me and to use in his service alone. So these are the three most beautiful points which is mentioned in this purport. And one beautiful, I'll just conclude with one beautiful episode from Krishna Leela, which brings forth this three points more clearly also, like the pastime of Krishna purifying Indradev. And it's very apt in this context because Indradev had all the powers being given by the Supreme Lord, but he started to think that this is my own power, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, I am the owner. And then Krishna, out of his mercy, for some time takes away those powers or counteracts those powers and purify him. So we see all these beautiful points which Srila Prabhupada is making are being beautifully depicted in this wonderful leela of Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill. So Krishna in Vrindavan performing beautiful, wonderful pastimes for the pleasure of all his devotees. So this beautiful episode also comes in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is described as like the beautiful moon surrounded by all his cowherd friends, who were like beautiful stars surrounding him, playing in Vrindavan forest. So this basically episode comes after Krishna blesses the Brahman Patanis, where Krishna teaches the beautiful lesson that how everything should be offered to him, where the Brahmanas were engaged in sacrifice without understanding the true meaning of who the bhokta of those sacrifice was. So in that place, when Krishna stayed there for some time, then Krishna saw that Nanda Maharaj and all the other Brajavasis, they were elaborately busy preparing for some yajna. And they were collecting various articles and preparing different bhogas. Krishna, who is Sarvajna, he knew what is there, what is going on. But Krishna, he approached his father Nanda Maharaj and said to Nanda Maharaj, what is this ceremony, Nanda Maharaj, my dear father, you are doing? And what is the name of this ceremony? What is this yajna meant for? Who is the enjoyer of this yajna? And who is the guru who is instructing this yajna to do? And what are the injunctions and systems of worship which you are following? So why are people running all around mechanically in all directions preparing for some sacrifice? I do not understand the meaning of it. Ananda Maharaj, hearing the very intelligent words of his son, he is quiet for some time and he's thinking what to reply. And Krishna says, my dear father, if you think that this is something very, very confidential, then still you should tell me, because I am your relative, close relative, I am your son, and no secret should be kept from well-wishers or close friends. So please reveal to me the meaning of this sacrifice. After speaking so maturely, Krishna came close to Nanda Maharaj and sat down, and Nanda Maharaj lovingly picks him up and puts him on his lap. And then Nanda Maharaj affectionately, smilingly replies, says, Krishna, that my dear son, in our family, we have been performing this sacrifice for the pleasure of Indra, who bring forth wonderful rains as they are being showered now. Our only wealth is the cows, who live on grass and which needs rain to grow. Therefore, rain, the god Indradev, has to be pleased for us to have wonderful crop and for our cows. So therefore, this is a traditional sacrifice. We don't have any Vedic reference, but it's a traditional sacrifice which we have been performing. And he says that, I'm sure that those who neglect the worship of the demigods, however, cannot get any relief. So therefore, we must do this sacrifice. So after hearing these bitter words from Nanda Maharaj, Krishna, because in the just previous chapter, Krishna had put forth or established that supremacy of his worship, and then he sees his own people engaged in performing sacrifice to Indra. Krishna, hiding his feelings, he smiled and begins to refute Nanda Maharaj's presentation. And it's explained that Krishna's eloquent delivery mesmerized all the Brajabasis. And the entire audience, those who were there, were completely mesmerized. And as we know, Krishna begins to speak the karma mimamsa philosophy, that it is only by the result of one karma that one gets whatever is destined. The demigods cannot bestow something which is not in your karma. So Krishna is explaining this. And then this explains that it is not a fact that the rains are caused by Indradev. And he says, Krishna explained that there is rains, in the continuous rains in the monsoon season, and you cannot say that Indra sends it. Indeed, the monsoon rains bring mental distress and make people weak and thin. We all have experienced the atmosphere, weather becomes so dull, and it's like a lot of anxiety and tension that's being this season. So the rain is not, Krishna concludes that therefore the rain cannot be caused by a person who is pleased, because such disturbances are being seen. And Krishna explains the four varnas in ashram, the brahmanas, their job is to study and teach the Vedas, the kshatriyas to protect and rule, the vaishyas, their job is to cow protection, farming, agriculture and business. And for us specifically, it's cow protection more or less. So therefore, and how are our cows being protected? By being the wonderful grass and waters which are supplied by Sri Giriraj. So let us all worship with wholeheartedly Sri Giriraj Govardhan Hill. So then Nanda Maharaj and others say that we will worship Giriraj also, since he is saying, but let us for us now worship Indradev. But of course Krishna says, no. Let us now worship Govardhan with all the paraphernalia, and you have made all these arrangements, so let's now immediately worship Sri Giriraj. And Brajabasis, they love Krishna. Whatever Krishna says, whatever makes Krishna happy, that is their life and soul. So they agreed completely. Yes, Krishna, it's your desire. We worship Giriraj, we will do that. And then Krishna describes to them how you should worship Sri Giriraj. And then she said, now expertly get all the ingredients collected for Indriyagya, and we will worship Sri Giriraj. Collect pots full of milk, make first class sweetmeats like rice. Sorry for reading this on Ekadashi. Cook many tasty food and fancy cakes. bring leaful bowls of ghee, honey, nectar. Prepare an ocean of yogurt, buttermilk, fresh butter. Build a mountain of rock candy and cover all the directions with abundance of sweetmeats. Send the message to invite all the brahmanas of the village and feed them sumptuously and make a big annakoot, a hill of food with thick dals, varieties of aromatic vegetables, very palatable sweet cakes, pools of sweet rice. And in this way, offer various articles like padya, argya to Sri Giriraj, and then feed the brahmanas this mahaprasad. And then the brahmanas will start this beautiful sacrifice to please Sri Giriraj by chanting Mangalacharan and different auspicious mantras. And then Krishna explains that after all this is done, we will conclude this beautiful worship of Giriraj by circumambulating it. So that is the tradition Krishna established. By circumambulating, one concludes the worship of Sri Giriraj. And Krishna explains that all of you should decorate yourself very, very nicely and participate in this most wonderful festival. And Krishna tells them, don't think that how can we have faith that Giriraj will gratify our desire. Soon Giriraj will fulfill all your desires. He will reward you handsomely and make your endeavors fruitful. Do not worry. If you want to follow me, you can follow my advice and achieve an auspicious result. So Nanda Maharaj and all the Brajabasis immediately began to procure all the ingredients which they had for Indra Yagya and make everything wonderfully ready as described by Krishna. The cows were adorned with gold-plated horns, colorful silk cloths, pearl necklaces. These were the decorations of the cows. The tinkling bells hanging from their necks. Similarly, mothers and all the Brajabasi ladies and the gopas, they all also decorated themselves very, very opulently and beautiful. Nanda Maharaj then brought forth all the ingredients from his house, arranged the annakoot ceremony, the annakoot with all different clay pots full of milk, yogurt, as Krishna described. Pools of sweet rice were made and lakes of dal, and beautiful, like annakoot description is given. And different kinds of flowers were arranged on the edge. And when Nanda Maharaj saw this beautiful annakoot, he was completely like satisfied. And it appeared it was the fitting honor to Sri Girirachi, the king of all the mountains. Krishna was also very, very happy. And then Krishna, who was there with all the Brajabasis, suddenly assumed a huge transcendental form and stood in the top of Sri Giriraj as personified Sri Giriraj. When all the devotees, all the Brajabasis, they saw this transcendental, huge, enormous form of personified Giriraj, they all became astonished. And Krishna then, he said, oh, all the Brajabasis, see, Giriraj is pleased with all your wonderful loving offerings and he has assumed this personal form to accept these bhoga and reciprocate with all of you. So please now let us all offer obeisances. Namo, namo, everyone chants and they begin to offer obeisances. Krishna offering obeisances to himself in the form of Sri Giriraj. And then the beautiful description of the personal form of Giriraj is described, how is very well ornamented, decorated with different jewels, armlets, and in a beautiful form Sri Giriraji appears personally. And then Krishna explains how you see this Giriraj's form is hungrily extending his arms, which are bedecked with jewel bangles, to accept all your offerings and fulfill all your desires. So then all of them again offer their wonderful obeisances to Sri Giriraji. The whole atmosphere was filled with a great festival actually. Music from different temples were being resounded and all the directions were like the heavenly denizens, the singers and the dancers of heavenly planets, they also came to see this most beautiful worship of Sri Giriraji. Giriraj Maharaj caused the entire atmosphere to abound in happiness. So in this way, the beautiful description is there. And then they decide They feed all the brahmanas and all the other brajavasis and even the dogs and the chandalas. Everyone was sumptuously fed with that prasad from Sri Annakoot. And then begins the beautiful parikrama of Giriraji by Krishna and all the brajavasis personally performing the most wonderful parikrama. So there were different bands of musics. First, a beautiful band of that lound instruments like bhedis and the kettle drums were there. They were the first group who were beginning the parikrama, and they were like very beautifully decorated, playing with most beautiful music. They were moving ahead in the forward. And then behind them were the cowherd boys carrying their sticks and other flutes with the cows. They were moving behind this. And then there was another group of talented musicians who were playing the flutes and the veenas. The soft music was being played behind them. And then the gopis who were there, they were singing Krishna's glories on the bullock carts with small children. They were there on the bullock carts behind those musicians who were playing flutes and veenas. So they were all like there behind. And they were all singing loudly the intimate pastimes with Krishna. Krishna or Hari, who removes all the obstacles, laughed and joked with his cowherd boyfriends as he circumambulated the Govardhan Hill. And Kavi Karanpur, this is, I'm reading from Anand Vrindavan Champu's descriptions and Srimad Bhagavatam. He describes that it is impossible to find a suitable container to hold the unlimited bliss that Brajabasis felt during the parikrama of Sri Giriraj. Of course, there are very wonderful descriptions further, but with whatever time we have, we'll read something and then conclude. And then, meanwhile, all this is happening, beautiful parikrama is going on. Our demigod Indradev, he developed a headache due to being ignored and forgotten by the Brajabasis. Of course, the Indradev is a very, very empowered devotee of the Supreme Lord. And when we read these pastimes, actually Indradev is also happy because his pastime in relationship to the Supreme Lord is being spoken about, and in his worshipable Lord Krishna, Govinda, whom he himself bathes and worships, is being glorified in this wonderful Leela. And so Indradev is also happy when we read this beautiful pastime. So then Indradev, at this time is very, very like having a strong headache and seeing what is happening, that these Brajabasis, a small Brajbhumi village, under the influence of this small talkative child, have given up away my worship. So he says that these cowherd men, Bhagavatam describes, he says that they are like the animals which they tend. They don't have any intelligence. Even though many goddesses of learning praise me, these offensive cowherd men did not think twice before giving up my worship. Have they been overtaken by false pride? Why is that they are not worshipping me? Overcome by revenge and frustration, Indra considered for a moment how to retaliate against the Brajabasis. Then angry Indra called for the Samvartaka clouds, the clouds which are called during the time of devastation. Go and shake the earth with your thunder and destroy the village of Vrindavan with a deluge and bring a complete inundation of Brajabhumi. Since like that is the nature, Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami uses the word Ishmaninaha, that Indra was thinking that he is the controller. A small group of Brajabasis are not worshipping him, and he is going to such, that is the nature of anger. One doesn't realize what he is doing. His own worshipable Lord is there with his Brajabasis enjoying wonderful pastime. He is ready to kill them all together. That is the nature of anger. One cannot see his own worshipable Lord, Master, Ishmanina. That is the pride which can go in one's head when one is performing services. In devotional service also, as sadhakas also, when we are rendering service, Krishna empowers, Krishna gives the facilities, Krishna gives the talents. All those will be given. But if we are also sometimes like become like Indra, forgetting that these powers, these talents are given by Krishna, if we forget these and try to use to establish us as the center or establish us as the controller, as the ruler, then we will have to have a tough time. For Indra, Krishna personally destroyed his pride. For us, he may not. Depends on the devotee. But of course, Krishna is merciful. He'll purify us in some way or other. But for Indradev, Krishna personally destroys his pride. And in destroying that pride, Krishna performed this most beautiful pastime. As we will see how all the Brajavasis actually enjoyed the most blissful time during those 7 days. So all the Samartaka crowds are showering heavy rains, trying to devastate the whole thing, cover the sun. So it's complete darkness in Brajabhumi. Nobody can see anything. And constantly like heavy showers, as the Bhagavatam describes, as if pillars, the rains were such heavy, that as if pillars were falling down of rain, of water. And the cows were sheltering their calves underneath their blankets of the loose skin which is hanging. And the bulls, their tremendous showers of rains were falling on their humps. And like droplets were falling down like pearls. But they were intensely suffering. All the Brajabasis were also suffering. So then they approached Krishna out of pain. That Krishna, you have always given us happiness and protected us. Now in this great danger, please protect us. They did not, as Maharaj sometimes explained, that they did not go and complain. Hey Krishna, you said that we should do this. And we stopped Indragi and now this is the result. No, they were seeking shelter, that Krishna give us help and protection. So that is the nature of the devotee. Devotee never blames the Supreme Lord for his condition. He understands it is my own past karma. For of course the Brajabasis, they are the supreme worshipable personalities, eternal associates. For them there is no concept of karma. But for us, understanding that it's our own karma, that difficulties which we experience, Krishna mercifully intervenes in the lives, in course of devotee's life. So feeling the pain, all the Brajabasis approach the Supreme Lord, and then Krishna, in his compassionate voice, sweeter than honey, Krishna consoled his family and friends. Do not be afraid. Actually, this is an insignificant problem, as a hunger pain is to one who is completely satisfied with a sumptuous feast. And then Krishna says that, for your benefit, I will now enact a special pastime to destroy Indra's mountain of pride. So then Krishna, without even tightening his cloth, he showed complete indifference to Indra. Like for Kalia, when he went, he tightened his cloth and went as if getting ready to fight. But here in this case, Shukadeva Goswami also described in Bhagavatam that Krishna didn't even tie his cloth. He just went like this, like a child, complete showing indifference to Indradev. And Krishna picked up Giriraj with one hand and left it aloft with more, less than an effort, as a child takes a mushroom or an elephant lifts a lump of grass. Effortlessly, basically, he lifts Sri Giriraj. And when Giriraj was being lifted, loud sounds echoed in all directions and the mountain rose into the air. And the echo sounded like, it's described as a bunch of rowdy children yelling within the mountain caves, like echoes were coming. So like that huge tumultuous sound was produced by the lifting of Sri Giriraj. And different flowers were falling from the trees. It appeared the ecstatic symptoms of Sri Giriraj being touched by the lotus hand of Sri Krishna. The lions which were there on Giriraj, when they and the mountain was being lifted up, they thought, they saw the clouds, they thought they are the elephants, and they were trying to like with their claws rip apart those cluster of elephant in the form of elephant clouds. So in this way, all the residents of Bhumi and the residents on Giriraj were completely unaffected by the torrents of rain by Indra. That is devotee. He is completely aloof or untouched from material miseries when he is in touch with Krishna. In one of the pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Nanda Maharaj and all the Brajabasis are enjoying, Prabhupada explains that one can also, the verse comes that the Nanda Maharaj and all of them being constantly with Krishna, they are the three modes of material nature or the three pangs do not affect them. So in that purport, Prabhupada explains, for us also, by reading and by being absorbed in these pastimes and Krishna Katha, we can also be freed, elevated, or be from these modes or effects of the pangs of material nature. That is being very beautifully exhibited here. All the Brajavasis, the residents of Giriraj, apparently directly under the shower of Indra's wrath, but completely unaffected. That is Krishna consciousness, as it is explained that when the torrents of rain are there, Krishna consciousness brings one above the clouds. The material solutions are like taking an umbrella in a heavy stormy rain, but you'll get wet. But Krishna consciousness brings you above the clouds. You are completely dry in that heavy rains. So in this way, Krishna lifts Sri Giriraj Govardhan, and then all the Brajabasis, they come. And then of course Krishna calls all the Brajabasis that please come with all their valuables and within the beautiful city of which was underneath Giriraj. Krishna with his mystic power created a most beautiful city within the Giriraj, that all the Brajabasis, all the cows, everyone could be accommodated in there. And then there was a beautiful festival for 7 days and seven nights. Beautiful descriptions how this wonderful festival take place, how different devotees are there in all the rasas. This was the time when all the devotees were experiencing complete satisfaction, because otherwise during the daytime the gopis would feel separation from Krishna because Krishna would go to the forest, and in the night or in the early mornings the cowherd friends, they would feel separation because Krishna would be in the house. But here all of them together were enjoying with Krishna. It's beautifully described. The pastime completely astonished the brahmanas and other devotees fixed in neutrality, the shantaras. Astonished the brahmanas and other devotees in the shantaras, they were offering wonderful prayers. And those in madhurya ras, they were exhibiting their deep love for Krishna. And those in sakya ras, the friends like Madhu Mangal, Subal, they were having knife time, laughing, merrymaking, joking, and they were enthusing and encouraging Krishna. So different associates, and of course the Vatsalya Prem, Yashoda Mai, for her it was very, very difficult to see. She felt very sad to see Krishna like this. And she was offering prayers to Giriraj. If you are actually a personality, please float on your own and let my child have no problems. And she was feeding Krishna. So that was the Vatsalya. So in this way, all the Brajabasis which had different rasas, Krishna was reciprocating with each one of them simultaneously in those 7 days and seven nights. And there was a beautiful festival took place. And finally, Indra comes and realizes his mistake, and then he comes with Surabhi and offers wonderful prayers to Krishna, and Krishna forgives. So in this way we see how in this beautiful episode Krishna personally protects the pride of the devotee, which Indra in his most wonderful pastime. So that is, and the devotees offer their whole heart and everything to satisfy and please Krishna. That is the Brajabasi's mood. That is the mood of Sri Prahlad Maharaj, thanking Krishna for every situation. That is what Sri Prabhupada describes in purport. So I just conclude this with one quote from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's book, very beautiful class, where which also bring forth this point that any condition we should be ready to live in Krishna's terms, with God's terms. It comes in one of the prayers which he offers in his initial journey in one of the churches, where he's read one passage from Bible, and then he offered this prayer that why should I waste my life trying to fit in with the social fashions of my peers. That is the time he's going out in search of God. So then why should I waste my life trying to fit in with the social fashions of my peers? Why not try to live on my own terms, and hopefully someday on God's terms? So that is also our prayer, when we read these wonderful prayers and life of these wonderful devotees who are leading the life of Krishna's will or on God's terms. So when we read these pastimes and these glorious devotees, we can pray to them that we can also someday lead a life based on God's terms. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.